from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. And with just over a week to go before the open of spring training, Giants pitchers and catchers reporting on February 11th, a week from tomorrow, I want to kind of talk about the offseason so far, and I actually want to defend the relatively quiet offseason that the Giants have had to this point. Not to say that if this is ultimately all they end up doing, that that would be a great offseason, but you know, I want to make the point, like, there's not a lot of players that have signed who were great fits for the Giants, and also how there's still 2 months to go, basically, until opening day, and then, you know, moves can still be made after opening day. So we'll kind of look at the landscape of the offseason and see who has signed, who might have made sense for the Giants, and why maybe they didn't end up being the highest bidders for those players. And then we'll also look at trades and how there actually hasn't been a lot of trades. And so it's hard to say that they, you know, missed out on anyone, really, given that there haven't been a lot of great fits that they missed out on. So we'll go into detail about that and talk about remaining free agents and possible trade scenarios. So yeah, I think the first thing to point out is that the game has changed a little bit. Gone are the days where teams were done with their off seasons by early January. And more now, deals happen in February and March. And additionally, I keep saying this, but someone like Kevin Pillar was acquired in the season a few days in. It wasn't like a mid-season acquisition, and it also wasn't a December acquisition. So Kevin Pillar wasn't as good as a lot of fans seem to think he was, but he was a good player for them. And fans loved him, and yet they had to wait until early April for the Giants to acquire him. So to sit here on February 3rd and kind of declare that they haven't had a successful offseason, to me, it's just a little impatient. And I understand it's not fun at all when you're following a team and it takes 6 months for the offseason to fully develop, you know, because I guess it's less than that because you have to wait for the postseason to conclude. So then around, you know, November, December, January, February, March, it's 5 months potentially where you're talking about making deals to help you in the upcoming season. But that's the thing, is it's not the Giants' fault. That's just kind of the state of baseball right now. And I understand free agency this year was a little bit more active than it's been in the last couple of years. In fact, it was a lot more active. But there are still plenty of players out there who remain unsigned, and it's been relatively quiet since the winter meetings, which were, you know, almost 2 months ago now. So the high-end talent went off the board early, but then otherwise it has been a slog like it's been in recent years. And teams recognize the value of kind of waiting these players out and hoping for bargains. And the other thing is that the trade market has not moved along at all so far. And I've seen multiple kind of reports that people in the industry expect the floodgates to open here a little bit with trades. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants get involved in that market because they have been clear about wanting to add offensive players, essentially. And they haven't really done that outside of Yolmer Sanchez and Pablo Sandoval, which there's no way that that's what they were talking about when they're talking about wanting to upgrade the offense. But the point is, you don't make a move just to make a move. You make the move because it's a good move for your team now and in the future. And you know, I just trust that so far that opportunity hasn't presented itself, or it did, and the player chose to sign elsewhere. Like with Castellanos, it's very possible that they were in the same ballpark with their offer, but he just wanted to go to Cincinnati, and that's something you can't really control. But I'll get specific here. You know, just looking at free agency, because it's not like there's been a lot of great outfielders on the move in trades this offseason. We are talking about Mookie Betts potentially being traded here today or tomorrow. There are reports of that. But he, you know, of course would be a huge help to the Giants, but he doesn't really make sense given that he's just a one-year player. It's similar to the Giants acquiring Andrew McCutchen, for whom they gave up Brian Reynolds, who they absolutely should not have given up in hindsight, because Reynolds, as a rookie last year for the Pirates, had a phenomenal season, and the Pirates now get to keep him on their team at a bargain price for the next five additional seasons. Whereas the Giants got McCutchen for a few months, didn't win anything, and then, you know, they did get a return in a trade, but the return was nothing like Brian Reynolds. So anyway, renting Betts on a team that probably isn't going to win anything anyway is kind of a pointless move, and you risk giving up a future piece that would help you more in the long run. But anyway, looking at free agent outfielders, it's just not that impressive of a list of guys who have signed yet. Possible fits, there are all reasons why they haven't signed with the Giants. Marcell Ozuna came with the qualifying offer attached to him, so the Giants would have lost a draft pick in order to sign him. I don't know if that was ever a good move, and we've said that all along. Brett Gardner, left-handed, wanted to return to the Yankees. Cole Calhoun, left-handed, not really a fit. The Giants, the best fit is kind of a right-handed hitting outfielder. Nick Castellanos, I thought, was the best possible fit, and the Giants were reportedly negotiating with him all the way to the end. He got 4 years, $64 million. I think, you know, $16 million a year is kind of where I'd draw the line on the peak of his value. I wouldn't go too much beyond that for a player with the warts that he has, being not a great defensive player. Besides that, maybe Avisail Garcia, but you're just not really talking about an impact player at this point. And this is kind of the top of the market. We've already gone through the best available bats who signed elsewhere. Garcia got $20 million over 2 years. I just think they could, that type of talent is still potentially available if the Giants wanted to sign Yasiel Puig or even Kevin Pillar back to a contract. Domingo Santana is still a free agent, as is Yasiel Puig, as is Kevin Pillar. So these guys still are possible fits, but they're not really that impact player that maybe the Giants were seeking. But who was? Only maybe Castellanos and potentially Ozuna, but do you really want to give up a draft pick to sign Marcell Ozuna, who, you know, has some red flags with his game right now, looks to be not moving very well at all. His throwing arm has really weakened over the years, and I'm just concerned about whether or not he's healthy, and he only was able to secure a one-year deal. So anyway, it's just not like this was the offseason where there were a bunch of prime candidate outfielders to sign. You know, last year was kind of an exception with Bryce Harper being available, and the Giants went hard after Bryce Harper. Next year, Mookie Betts will be a free agent, and I would expect them to go hard after Mookie Betts. Anyway, coming up in the second half, we'll just continue to have this conversation. We'll look closer at some of the remaining available free agents and talk about the stagnant trade market as well. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles. Check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, or just take in a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Bringing the kids along? Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Plan your spring training getaway now at visitarizona.com/springtraining. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Giants is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Giants fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. And not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Giants fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, here in the second half of the show, just want to wrap up the conversation defending the Giants offseason. I talked in the first half about how there just simply have not been a lot of impact outfield bats like signing left and right in free agency. There was, I think, Castellanos might have been the only really good fit. Ozuna had the qualifying offer. Avisail Garcia is a possible fit, but just not really a difference maker. So it's not the end of the world if they don't get him. I think they could get similar production out of some of the remaining players if they so chose to go that route. Yasiel Puig, probably the best remaining free agent outfielder. But I was looking at him this morning and remembered that he has reverse platoon splits that are pretty dramatic, actually, and they've gotten more dramatic in recent seasons. In the last 3 years, which is generally a good time frame to look back at what a player is now, maybe you want to weight the more recent years a little more heavily, but we can't just look at, I see it all the time. Oh, last year against lefties, he was good. Well, we're often talking about like 100 plate appearance samples when we're looking at 1 year and then dividing it into halves, you know, versus lefties or righties. So we look at 3 years here, and I would argue maybe that's not even enough, because Puig has 452 plate appearances versus lefties in that span and has been 21% below average by weighted runs created plus, hitting .225 with a .314 on base and .359 slugging. So dismal offensive numbers against lefties. And as a right-handed hitter, we should expect the opposite of that from Puig, but in fact, he has reverse platoon splits. So in 1,173 plate appearances against righties since 2017, he's hitting .280 with a .341 on base and .522 slugging. So just dramatically better, a .125 weighted runs created plus, meaning 25% above average. So that's a problem because the Giants have Alex Dickerson and Mike Yastrzemski, you know, penciled into their outfield mix, and they could really use a right-handed hitter who complements one or both of those players, specifically Dickerson, who definitely in his career has a track record of being really good against righties, but not so good against lefties. So that's exactly the same with Puig. So you can really think of Puig like a left-handed hitter who has normal platoon splits. And I'm just not sure that's the best fit. So besides that, there's Kevin Pillar. We know what he offers. He's still out there and could be a fit. You know, he definitely could be. He could be like a nice right-handed complement, but I think they're looking for more of an impact, longer-term player, which at this point would just have to come from a trade. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make here, is that free agency was never really going to be the answer unless they went after Castellanos, whom apparently they did try to sign. So I'm not going to throw the front office under the bus just for not signing one free agent hitter who was somewhat interesting, but not like a superstar. I don't think that's a fair thing to do. And I like the pitching signings that the Giants made. And I think that those guys, Gausman, Tyler Anderson, Drew Smyly, Tyson Ross, all have upside and were acquired for very little cost and could be traded at the deadline for more pieces like Mauricio Dubon that can help them down the road. So yeah, in conclusion, I think that the trade market will be something to watch closely moving forward here, whether it's, you know, in February or whether it's in March or even April. There's no end to the offseason. You know, the season will start, but the Giants will still be in acquire mode. They're not, you know, the days where you just set your roster and you didn't really change it until July are over. And this team is constantly going to be looking to make deals to get better. I think there's an opinion out there that they're just, you know, twiddling their thumbs and they're happy with these really, really micro moves that they make. And some of them they probably are happy about, but at the same time, you can't force a team to give you their impact bat. You know, the team that is giving up that player doesn't want to give up that player and wants to maximize the return. And I think the Kevin Pillar trade was actually really good, a really good example of maybe the Giants being unwilling to overpay. And they finally got the deal done when Toronto was kind of backed into an uncomfortable situation where they needed to clear a roster spot to bring somebody off the injured list. And Pillar was kind of the odd man out there. And the Giants recognized that that was going to happen to Toronto and just waited until he became, until Toronto became willing to accept their offer, which was really, Giants did not really give up much there. And I think that that's what they're going to continue to do, is just stick to their values and not overpay. They're not going to put themselves in a bad position where they feel like they're losing a trade just for the sake of making a move. So I would just continue to stress patience and just trust the process. And even if it's a slow process, and even if at times nothing happens, I think eventually you're going to see those moves. It's just a matter of waiting for everything to unfold. A Mookie Betts trade could get the trade market really rolling, though, and we may see that in the next day or two. And I will just say, it's not impossible to envision the Giants getting involved somehow in a bigger trade as a third team in a three-team deal. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter, @BenCaspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.